Before we bring you in today's Wiggle Room, let me take a moment and thank one of our sponsors. Those are our friends over at True Car. They've got a couple of tips for you, and then I've got one for you as well that True Car is telling you to take a coffee filter, put olive oil on it, and use it to clean the interior of your car. Be careful you don't slide right out. Maybe afterwards you may come in with another coffee filter. Make sure you blot up the excess oil. Also, speaking of excess, take that excess weight out of your car to improve the gas mileage. And then you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Also, get your wand offs in by Monday morning at the latest. That's a tip if you want to get them into the show. Here's another tip that you might not know about. True Car also helps people get a used car too. That's right. True Car isn't just for buying a new car. With the certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. You're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with True Car certified dealers, just like those used certified advantages on Ghost Island, just as good as the new ones. When you're ready to buy that new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Check it out. Josh.
The Wiggle Room is back.
Yes.
And a happy damn birthday belated on the podcast to you, Josh Wiggler.
Oh my God. Did you get me a cake? Did you get me anything?
We did have cake for you. I will say that, yes, I did have cake for you.
I saw rumors of this. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to the great Simone Wynn on the podcast yet. I've heard whispers of a cake.
Yes. So there was.
Is it like a bad cake? Is there like some sort of twist, some sort of gimmick involved? Like, is this like something that I shouldn't be excited about?
Depends. Do you like strawberries?
I do like strawberries.
Okay. I don't think it was a bad cake. I mean, okay. How would that be a trick to you if we ate some sort of trick cake? Like, does it say, like, F Josh Wiggler on the cake?
Yeah, it could be something like that. Or it could just be, like, you dragging my hat just, like, a little bit further through the mud.
Through the icing. Like,
yeah, especially if it was, like, brown icing. Like a chocolate icing. That would be no good. But, no, thank you for the belated birthday message. I appreciate it. I am currently in Joshua Tree, California, celebrating my birthday. I've turned 33, so we have used, my wife and I have used the very tacky hashtag Joshua30Tree, and I'm very proud of that. I feel like that's clever. That's probably the best I'm going to do all season long in terms of wordplay.
Can you tell me what goes on there? Because I have heard Joshua Tree. Like, what is it, like a desert? Like, I don't know what people do there.
Peyote. For one, yes. I think, which we have avoided as far as I know, though we did have a very trippy experience yesterday. No, it's like, you know, you're in the desert. There's cool nature. There's cool hikes, some stargazing. We have a nice Airbnb that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's like vaguely frightening how quiet it is coming from Brooklyn, from New York City. Like, this is not necessarily our scene. It's certainly not Emily Fox's scene right away. So it was a little bit of a shell shock coming in. But yeah, we've just been like hiking around and just relaxing and enjoying ourselves. And I think, this is like, it's a very hippy dippy town, but it's kind of cool.
What's scarier, Joshua Tree or Ghost Island?
Tough call. This is a spooky playground of sorts in its own right, but I have not been tasked with any sort of like physical labor that I cannot accomplish yet. So I think that I'm team Joshua Tree over Ghost Island in terms of this place is not quite as frightening as the land of broken survivor dreams.
Right. One, yeah. You have to do fire making, another you have to do fire dancing, so it's true.
Right. Yeah. I haven't seen Courtney Merritt out here yet, but I'm keeping an eye out.
She has a lackluster apartment over there, I hear.
So I've heard.
Great.
You haven't even seen her apartment. How do you know it's shitty?
I saw reviews.
Her Airbnb. Yeah, it's got, we looked at it, but we decided to go with another one.
Two stars. Not great.
A funny thing did happen in Joshua Tree National Park yesterday on my actual birthday. My wife and I were hiking around and someone came up to me and asked me if I'm Josh Wigler. And it was somebody who listens to RHAP. So shout out to Charlotte catching me in the wild. That was kind of surreal. That was sort of bizarre. I was wearing the Wombat's hat, and I thought maybe that was how she had recognized me. But no, she said it was based on my calves, because I posted Instagram video of my calves on Ghost Island, of which I am very proud. Much like I am proud of my hat, I am proud of my calves.
I have no follow-up questions to that.
None required. Okay. Let's move on.
So we are going to talk about episode number 3, not episode number 2, of Survivor Ghost Island. And then later on, we will have another exercise, which we need not mention right now because we're not going to talk about it. But then we'll talk about something else later on that may or may not involve musical numbers.
That seems fair. That seems legit. It's called
here. We're
going to
talk about Survivor, and then we're not going to talk about that other thing.
That's fine. So stop talking about how we're not going to talk about it.
Okay. All right, Josh. So you and I really have not gotten to speak much about this episode. I don't think I've read anything that you've written up. So just real quick, what was your take on episode number 3 of Ghost Island?
Yeah. So first of all, I was not able to publish my exit interview with one Morgan Rickey over at The Hollywood Reporter. If you listened to the exit interview here on Rob Has a Podcast, unfortunately, audio quality. Yes, it was difficult and basically impossible for transcription purposes. But she basically said all the stuff to me that she said to Gordon and Mike and to yourself. So, I felt like it was OK to skip this one. I loved this episode. I'm really in on Ghost Island right now. I think that this season has been really fun. It is hard fought. I knee-jerk reaction to the move. Really loved the move, especially from James. I was really excited to see that Libby is kind of stone cold, to see that bear out on the screen after we talked about that a bit in the first episode of The Wiggle Room and on First One Out as well. It was fun to see that in practice, that she was ready and willing to sell her best friend in the game down the river. Whether or not you think that was a good move, I think just the cutthroatness, I think that bears out so far. So that's great. But you had a really good podcast with Zeke, not the least of which is because he defended my Jervis, but also because I thought that he presented a really compelling counter case against the move. You know, leaving the episode, I was really on board with kind of the way that Fishback had been articulating the episode and how it was such a great move for James. And I really thought that this was one of the great early moves of recent Survivor history, as far as like a pre-merge big move. I thought it was really amazing, really compelling. It's a slam dunk way of guaranteeing Malolo survives another vote. And not only that, but also gains power within Naviti in a really dynamite way. But I thought Zeke brought up a lot of good points about how this is the point in the game where you want to be building flexible relationships. And this maybe cuts a few of those opportunities off, maybe a little bit prematurely, and identifies a few people as threats that maybe didn't need to be outed in that way. So, I don't know, compelling points on both sides of the equation. I'm not entirely sure where I land on it now.
Yeah, I mean, certainly what James did is in line with the conventional wisdom in terms of the preserving the Malolo numbers. But do you think that we are at a point in where the game is right now where we have multiple swaps, where I believe that we will certainly swap again? And who knows, we could even have an additional swap, potentially 3 swaps before the merge. That do you feel like that the game has gotten to the point where forget the original people that you were with for 6 days, try to think about how can you accumulate the most allies moving forward?
I mean, I think that there is a lot to be said for that, obviously, but I also think these people are coming off of a season. The last season that they have seen as they are playing the game is Game Changers. And Game Changers was a season that was, you know, it was all but an official pagonging of Nuku stomping all over Mana and really whittling those numbers away and there being only one Nuku casualty heading into the merge. So I think that there is this fear, whether or not it's founded, and I think that it at least is probably partly founded if you see the former Navitis that are now over at Malolo, in Bradley and Kellen and Desiree and all those people, and Sebastian, and who else is there? Chelsea. Oh God, that wasn't even a slight at Chelsea. I literally forgot. I'm so sorry. That's so unfortunate, Purple Chelsea. But yeah, like those five seem to be tight, or at least that's the narrative that we are being shown so far with what Kellen has said. So I think that there's some validity to the idea that there is this old tribe loyalty that you have to be afeared of. So I think it makes sense to me that the four Malolos on both sides of the game want to try and stay together, since it's already a 10-8 advantage in Naviti, original Naviti's favor right now. So if you can do that in a way that you're not like pissing off everybody in the game, as they may have just done with this Morgan vote, then I think like maybe it behooves you to try and keep the peace to some degree. But I also think that the way that they voted out Morgan, it was just a guaranteed way to get a Naviti out of the game. It was a slam dunk, surefire, this was not going to backfire move, where if Dominic has an idol, it's probably not going Morgan's way. If you get rid of Morgan and you have exposed three Navitis, we're going to vote for Angela. And Angela was somebody who was, demonstrating that she was really old Naviti strong. And now that illusion has been shattered for her. And Chris Noble's on his way back. And you got to imagine that he's going to have a shit fit about all of this. It now gives the four Malolos on Naviti control over that beach, and the guarantee that there was no funny business at play with Dominic. So I think I still like it. I think that there's a lot of validity to the idea that like maybe they're rustling some feathers where it would be nice if they didn't do that. But I think just in terms of like, we got to survive one more day, we've got an opportunity to like slam dunk, get rid of a Naviti, we don't necessarily trust Dominic, I think that this is the way to go. I think I still like the move ultimately.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything not to like. I think that we're getting a little bit into splitting hairs. Like, I think that they could have gone in a different direction and voted out Angela, and maybe that would have been potentially a better move. But I think that they couldn't go wrong, these four Malolo people, who, if they stuck together, they were going to have their choice of what they wanted to do, and they were going to get one of them out. And is it really going to matter that much one way or another? I guess, we'll see. But Naviti, I think that they were a fractured group, and that's a big problem. Even though they had a 10-8 advantage going into this round of play, that based on what Morgan had said, that she said that they were a very fractured group, and it was a 5-5 split, and there was no way to tell who was going to go home if they went to that first tribal council. They might have gone to rocks if they went to a tribal council.
That would have been crazy. Can you imagine a first vote that goes to rocks? That would be so insane. Really hard to picture. Really hard to picture. But I don't know. If that's what Morgan said to you, I didn't hear it. Didn't translate. Did not translate in the call with me. I just, beyond the strategy of it, just like the construction of the episode, it was so great. And I think like this was a moment where, yeah, you kind of like, you pay attention to who isn't talking in your premiere episode. Like, who did not get a confessional, who did not get a big spotlight, and you gotta wonder what are their long-term prospects in the game. But I think that if there's like downsides to that, I think one of the upsides was, so Angela speaks for the first time in this episode after Morgan had been heavily featured in the premiere by virtue of getting the legacy advantage. And to me, like the moment that Angela started piping up in the swap, in that first confessional of the tribes are about to swap, I'm like, okay, so this is the Angela boot episode.
Visibility spike.
Yeah, I really believed it all the way through to the end of the episode. And when it came up for Morgan, I was just blown away by that. So I think that that's one upside of the fact that like just by nature of, by virtue of the nature of the show and just how much story material they are able to convey in 42 minutes of screen time, and double that in the case of the premiere, that when a person comes in, you do like, I feel like at least my instinct as a Survivor fan who can't help but watch for this type of stuff at this point, it's just how my brain has kind of been trained, as has been the case for many other people, I think. Like you think that at this point, it's like, okay, the person who has been purple up to this point and is now really popping on the screen is going to be in trouble. And the fact that it went to Morgan, I was really blown away by that. So I think just in terms of the construction of the episode, it was so much fun to watch.
Whale of an episode. Really great one. And yes. Josh, that I had heard from a lot of people that it was a confusing episode. I know that I was even a little bit lost going into this episode in terms of who was with who after we had this tribe swap with two tribes of nine. Do you think that it might have been too early to do the tribe swap based on how we're people that are so ensconced in Survivor and it was a little hard to follow?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, like, if you're
like,
really
I talked
embedded,
to my mom, and she had no idea what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. And I watched it with a couple of friends who had no idea what was going on either. And I've heard from some other friends who are, like, more Survivor savvy than the people that I watched it with, and they were confused as well. And I wasn't especially confused, but I've been really embedded in the preseason stuff. So, like, I've been tracking who goes where in terms of the tribes and everything like that. So it feels very second nature to me. But I gotta imagine, like, if you don't engage the preseason at all, or even if you engage the preseason, it is definitely possible that you are not following the tribe dynamics. Like, I think after, you know, the question for me is if the premiere had played out across 2 weeks of real time, like if it had been, you know, the Gonzalez vote in week one and then the Jacob vote a week later, would you have now had more time to, like, think about and process who's on Malolo and who's on Naviti? Or because they are compressed in a single episode and then you swap in the very next episode, it's just too hard to track. You haven't had enough time to really kind of think about what the dynamics are on either tribe. I think it might be that second thing. That being said, I do think that 2 episodes in, like getting to that third episode and there being a big tribe swap, I don't love it, because I do think that those first 6 days in the game, really, for whatever reason, it is such like a powerful, you know, bonding period. And you do see tribes that really want to stick together after only 6 days in the game and only 2 episodes of television for us. And those dynamics can end up being massively important for the rest of the game. Again, in the case of Game Changers, and you don't fully appreciate that because I don't think you're allowed the time to be emotionally invested in what they are emotionally invested in. I think, like, if you went through 3 episodes or ideally 4 episodes with original tribes, for me, that feels like the better way to go. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think that from a long-term game perspective, I think that this is probably going to bear the most fruit, but I think it is a tough pill to swallow in terms of following along. I mean, I really was struggling with trying to remember who was where when we got to the know-it-alls. And I mean, and not to pat myself on the back too much, but I mean, I kind of feel like that, you know, I'm a guy who has been on the show, does nothing else but think about this show for the most
part.
This
is literally everything that you do. You've got nothing else.
Yeah, and it's a little bit like where I need to concentrate and really think about what's going on than the other 99.999% of the people that watch this show that, like, have their phone out and are doing something else when they're watching this. They might also have been a little bit confused, but they'll figure it out. That's why they do previously on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the thing. It's like, I think eventually just like the game's going to keep playing and, you know, there's going to be a stockpile of episodes that is going to accumulate. And by the time you get to week four, I think you'll be all right.
Yeah, like, week four coming up this week.
I know. I'm excited for week four. Week four, always a great one on the Wiggle Room.
It's week three, but episode 40.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God, that's very confusing. So are we going to, like, celebrate episode 40 and then celebrate week 40?
I don't know. I think, yeah, I guess we have both back to back.
Oh my God, the sound in the 40. It's going to be great.
It's a lot.
So,
Josh, I want to talk to you a little bit about Morgan. And obviously, you got to spend some time with all the players in the preseason. And there was a lot made about Morgan as she is somebody that Survivor was thinking of. This could be the next Kim Spradlin.
Yeah, those are big words, you know. You know me. I love Kim. I think Kim is the G-O-A-T. And I know that is, for whatever reason, controversial with some people. To me, that feels like a pretty easy stance. I feel like that's a cold take. Are you asking me if I thought that Morgan had a Sproblin upside?
Yes. Did you feel you got to speak with her, and she was somebody that I never really saw it in the preseason, but I wanted to know if she was somebody that you felt particularly high on.
I didn't feel like she had Sproblin upside necessarily. Like, did I feel like Morgan was somebody who could win the game? Sure. Yeah. Why not? She seemed like really friendly, very affable, seemed incredibly athletic. Especially like when I got to like see like sort of, you know, some like early shades of the tribe dynamics, it seemed like she was really getting along well at Navidi. You know, clearly she earns the legacy advantage from someone she's never talked to before in her entire life in Jacob sending that her way. So there's something about her that is like non-verbally likable, that gives off some like non-verbal vibes of somebody that you feel comfortable working with. But I don't know. I mean, she seemed like she was going to be somebody who was going to be like a totally solid player, somebody who could definitely do well, was not somebody who I thought would go home this early. That's a surprise. It's a surprise that Morgan is leaving the game third. But I also would not have guessed that Gonzalez was going to go home first. I would not have guessed that Jacob was going to go home as early as he did. And so for Morgan to have gone home third, and in this case, I really do think like it was the, you know, it was the consequence of a power move, whether or not you want to say it was a good power move or just like kind of like a flashy move that was overcomplicated. You know, it was a power move to get rid of somebody who was definitely going to be a safe vote in that moment. And I don't think that there was much that Morgan could have done. I think that the way that she was building her bond at with Libby, that seemed really strong to me. I think that she just, as you said to Steven, I think that she just didn't know that she was playing with somebody who would be putting, you know, the blood of a fallen survivor player on as like, you know, eyeliner, basically. Libby. Like,
yeah. Well, I did find that was particularly useful, that information that you brought back from that first tribal council, which didn't make it into the episode, of how you felt like that Libby was the only person that would stare down Gonzalez.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, to walk it back, like I was feeling pretty proud of myself on Wednesday night when that bared out with Libby, but in her exit interviews, and take them for what you will, because A, you could hardly hear them, and B, are they canon? That is up for debate. But Morgan was talking about, as best as I could hear, that she started kind of piecing together that something might have been wrong because Libby started acting awkward. Like she started acting a little uncomfortable. So maybe like the stone cold Libby thing is a little bit overblown, but I do remember very clearly from my preseason conversation with Libby talking about how you know, she had been asked a question by like another interviewer if she would vote out her own best friend for $1 million, and she's like, yeah, I would, it's $1 million. And so like that kind of was echoing in my mind in the moment that she's voting out Morgan, who's somebody that she clearly connected with, somebody who she clearly had a lot in common with and felt like she could trust, and felt like the trust cut both ways. And I think for her to cut Morgan, the trust cutter, indeed, you know, stuff trust. And I think for her to cut Morgan where she does, or to be on board with the decision to cut Morgan, to me does represent somebody who, not that she's going to play completely unemotionally, but she is somebody who is prioritizing like the momentum and the movement and the direction of the game over personal feelings. And I think if the rest of the, you know, if the other three Malolos, if James and Laurel and Donathan are all on board to get rid of Morgan, and they all think that's the best move, and Libby simply cannot persuade them otherwise, then I think to me it's impressive that she was willing to make that sacrifice in somebody who clearly was team Libby, somebody who really did want to work with Libby. You know, I've seen some comments of like, well, if Libby was really a super strong player, she would convince them to vote for somebody else, to vote for Dominic, to like get him out of the game instead of getting rid of somebody that she's super close with. And yeah, in a perfect world, sure, absolutely. But I do think that it's, you know, it's a matter of timing. You know, Survivor, as the great John Cochran has said, it's a game of timing. And I think in this moment in time, on day 9, to cut Morgan for the benefit of your original crew that you have been working on trust with for 9 days now, to me feels like the shrewder move. So I am still impressed with Libby walking away from this episode.
Okay. There were a lot of people, Josh, that felt like that Morgan was going to go far in the game, but there was one person who did not think that she would do well and thought that she would be one of the first people out of the game. That person did call their shot, and that person is Chris Noble, who you spoke to during First One Out.
Did he? I'm trying to remember what he said. I think he did say
that.
Here,
I have the clip for you. You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah. Pull it.
Because if you're good socially, then you should be good to be strategic socially. If you're not good socially, you're not going to be good strategic. Like, let's be real. And anyone can be athletic and get ousted. So I just don't think her social game is going to be up to par. I think she'll be one of the first women eliminated, even though she's probably going to be pretty good for whatever tribe and the challenges.
So there you go.
Oh my God.
He called his shot.
The prophet, Chris Noble. Oh my God. Should we like really be paying attention to every shot that Chris called in the preseason as potentially like very, very wise beyond his levels of understanding what he's saying?
Okay, well, that's what I want to ask you about, Josh, because
like the Drew Christie prophecy all over again.
Because I know it's been fun. You know, we goof on Chris, and we really just we don't know yet. We haven't seen him go to a tribal. He's a rather unknown commodity. Is it possible, Josh, that maybe we are underestimating Chris? And I mean, it seemed like that we assume that he will lose to Dominic when they ultimately have a face off. But I have to feel like that if we just look at the numbers and the pieces on the chessboard where they are, I feel like that Chris is in the better spot right now.
Here's what I'll say about Chris, who was like instantly just like iconically ridiculous. Like he was just like he was cracking me up. I really had to like I had to do my best job of like just like holding it together and not laughing at some of the things he was saying. I was so captivated in talking to him because he just has this level of self-confidence that is unmatched by almost anybody that I've ever encountered in my entire life. But, you know, he was talking about the game in very sure and certain terms of just like sort of like absolutely feeling a way about a situation. And that was going to be the way that it went. So there's that piece of it. The other piece of it was that like he was so charismatic and ridiculous in his charisma that I could not stop like staring at him and wanting to like watch him at all times while I was out there. Andrea Belke and I were at the Naviti tribe at the same time together when we visited on day two, and Chris was not there for the vast majority of the visit. And like both of us, like you really can't talk when you go to the tribe visit. Like you really don't want to speak. And so we were just like really quietly whispering to each other, as you know, as privately as we could. We were like, where's Chris? Oh, I want to see Chris so badly. I really want to see Chris playing Survivor. And when he showed up, finally, we just couldn't take our eyes off of him. Like everything he was doing was just like really getting us very close to bursting out laughing, which would have been a really bad thing. So there's just something that's kind of magnetic about the guy. And I think in terms of entertainment value for me, that speaks for itself in terms of like that's a fun character to have on your screen for a while if he's just making you laugh. And your mileage may vary in terms of whether or not that is working for you in terms of entertainment purposes. But I do think maybe there is some quality about him as a human being and as a Survivor player that is going to draw people to him. You know, maybe some of his reads, I think, would be worth examining as more people drop in the game, assuming that he hangs around for a bit, to see just like kind of how on point or off base he was. But I'm not closed off to the idea that Chris is going to be better at this than I certainly would have given him credit for leaving Fiji after those first 3 days in the game. And I do think that the first episode bared that out a little bit in the sense that he still didn't trust Dominic after Dominic showed him the fake idol. I do think that there is a little bit of a cautious eye to Chris Noble that I would not have given him credit for. I feel like we'll probably have him around for a little while. He just seems to me like he is going to be one of the big characters of this season.
Good. And we're lucky to have him.
I think so. He's absurd. He's an absurd, absurd individual. You know, he's Coach meets Derek Zoolander. And that to me seems like an incredible character. Coach Zoolander is, I'm all in on that.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk to you about some of the new Naviti tribe members or new Malolo tribe members who have come over from the Naviti camp, and they were less than impressed. Now, you got to visit both of the camps, right, Josh?
I did.
Okay. Did you notice a significant drop off between the location of the Naviti and the Malolo tribes?
Not in terms of the location, in terms of the camps and in terms of the shelters, which is, it's ironic because Malolo built they got the toolkit, they got the shelter building equipment, but Naviti's shelter was like phenomenally impressive on day two already. And Malolo's was kind of just whatever. So in terms of like the camps themselves, I do think that Naviti has, especially because they won comfort as well. Comfort, they won the chairs and all of that stuff. So Naviti definitely has the leg up. But in terms of the location, it's Fiji. The beaches are beautiful. The sunrises, the sunsets, the starry nights, all of it is great. Stop complaining. Unbelievable. Bradley Skywalker out there. It was just spectacular. Spectacularly unbelievable that has been like all of Bradley's content so far is just crying about Fiji, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And I don't know, the whole like the sand and the dirt, like get out of here. Come on. Stop that.
I just want to be back in Naviti. Well, you guys have like dirt. Sand everywhere. It feels dirty.
It's dirty. Sand.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's great. That's a very unexpected look for Bradley Clygie. I mean, I think coming out of those interviews, he's comparing himself to Spencer. Like, your concern is that this guy is going to be a little bit of a game bot, and maybe that's going to be super boring. But instead, he's just like getting like the turd at it. it's just getting like, I don't know. It's great. It's very unexpected and kind of funny.
Well, let me play something for you that our great friend Paul Borges pointed me to. Have you checked out the secret scenes from this week, Josh?
No, because they're all on All Access, right?
Yeah.
I can't track down the All Access, unfortunately. Okay. You know, the RHAP the salary is not allowing me to factor in CBS All Access.
THR won't spring for it?
I think THR has given me as much rope on Survivor as they're going to give me.
That being said, so in the secret scenes, Bradley is talking about it. He thought it might have been a mistake to be complaining so much with his new tribe. But now that he is in his interview.
So Malolo won the shelter making kit, too. And so I'm laying in this after I had fallen through. I finally got in like what seemed like a pretty... I'm in a pretty sturdy spot in the shelter after I had fallen through getting in. And it's just rickety. There's like a sagging spot. And then it hits me that they won the shelter making kit on the first day. What did they do with the stuff? Like, I don't know. It's the worst shelter I can imagine sleeping on. On top of the fact, then they also won the shelter making kit. It just like, it blows my mind. Like, you couldn't have planned that a little better.
You couldn't have. Come on.
I don't know. I don't know how optimistic I am about Bradley's Survivor future. But that being said, I feel like he's going to be an incredible recurring guest judge on Top Shelter whenever that launches
Saggy,
on Bravo.
Not even level is off. What are you guys doing?
Oh my God! Yeah,
why
they need to
fix
bring
this.
Like, no matter what happens next, like, they need to bring Bradley back on a future season to have him be, like, the guy in Survivor All-Stars
Rafa.
That, like, goes around. Rafa, that's right! Yeah! Bradley's the new Rafa! They need to bring him back to just, like, critique everybody's shelter in one of those shelter-building challenges.
Hang
bring
on the shelter
back.
And then say, it's sturdy or not. It's sturdy.
Oh, my God.
It's underwater.
Oh, yeah. Stunning. Sand, it's coarse and it gets everywhere.
But
so
Josh,
funny. It's so good. I love it.
So I want to ask you, in terms of Bradley, this character that, you know, we talk about survivors who don't have a thing. What is better? Is it, would you rather not have a thing or have a thing that is something that I think has really captured the hearts and minds of the survivor fans this week? But it's not necessarily a thing that you might want.
I don't think it's the thing you want. But that being said, I think so here's my guess. I would imagine that Bradley is probably not thrilled that this is like Survivor Bradley so far, that like, I'm sure that he's been giving a ton of thought to the game. I'm sure that he's giving really cutting confessionals, and that's not the stuff that we are seeing. But again, in the preseason, Bradley talked about how, I just want to make Survivor as good as it can be. Like, I don't want to be the first one out. I'm going to win the game. But if I get voted out, whether it's early or middle or late or never, I just want to make this season as great as it can possibly be. So if that philosophy still holds, I hope that Bradley is enjoying what he's contributing to Survivor right now, because I was dying watching those scenes. I think like that was some of like the funniest Survivor content I've seen in a very long time. So I have no idea how he feels about it, but I feel great.
So great. I guess my question for you is, would you rather be Bradley or would you rather be Chelsea?
I think I'd rather be Bradley.
Yeah.
I think it's not close. Yeah, I think so. I think I would much rather, unless like I did something like mortifyingly embarrassing, like wear my Wiggler's Wombats hat out onto the island or something like that. Just cut me out. Cut me out of the picture. But otherwise, I think it's Bradley every day of the week for sure.
So, Josh, this week we also saw the return of one of the artifacts mentioned by us in the Evolution of Strategy chapter 15, also in Survivor China. That did you know that James Clement had two immunity idols?
I had not heard about this, or I'd completely forgotten about it. I don't know how I'd lost track of that. But
yes.
Yeah.
And Michael Yerger ended up finding one of the immunity idols, and he said this.
This is a ghost.
Which
it's a ghost.
Yes. Yes. Was he quoting Bryce Isaiah?
It's a ghost.
Yes.
Oh man, how happy are we that we have Bryce Isaiah all season long being able to say it's a ghost. That is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
This was a great moment. This was exciting. I thought that this was like the moment that really, even more than like the trips out to Ghost Island so far, the return of James's idol has been like the most exciting Survivor historical moment. Now we get to like watch and track and see like, can somebody take a better bite out of the apple than James did, who didn't even bite into the apple at all? It's so awesome to get this thing back out there. My question is, is the other one out there? Is it just the one? Could they just find the one?
That would be amazing. So I want to ask you this also, because going back to Survivor Heroes versus Villains, and I know we touched on this in the Evolution of Strategy, that there's a point where the heroes are going to get their luxury items, right? And
right.
James's luxury item is the China immunity idol. Did James get to keep both of them? Are these on loan from James Clement?
Ooh, I would find him
and ask him.
I would guess so.
Did he keep one and Survivor kept one, and this is the one Survivor kept?
Or like, was one put up for auction, and did Survivor track down the person who had won the idol? Because I know that they did that with a couple of the idols. That's what Probst and the guys were saying out there on location. Good question. I mean, if James lent the idol to Survivor and like he's back in communicado with the Survivor people, that's an exciting prospect. I know it's not a popular opinion, but like I'm ready to see James 4.0. like that'd be a very exciting day if we get like some sort of all-star season where like Ghost Island 2, if like it's Ghost Island all-stars,
Gravedigger Island
there. Oh my god, yeah. I mean, it would only be fair to bring the Gravedigger out to Ghost Island. I think
You can just dig a big grave for all the advantages.
Oh, my God. What if he's out there? I mean, that's such a great idea. Is like, not only are you dealing with the haunted memorabilia of Survivor past, but how incredible would it be if there were like bosses you had to fight, like a video game?
How
and like
that
you
work?
Get to like, I don't know. I don't know how it would work, but like you get to like the James Clement level. We've already broken the barrier in terms of like special guest star appearances from former Survivor players out in Fiji, with Cochrane coming out for Game Changers. What if you get banished to Ghost Island at some point and you break the ghost xylophone and you say, oh, here's a game, go up here and play the game, and the game is some sort of like one-on-one competition against James Clement. How incredible would that be? I feel like that would be remarkably awesome.
Is James actually good in challenges, though?
No, so you would win.
Yeah.
You would get the thing. That's how you get the second Clement idol.
So he's like an early boss.
Yes, yeah. He's like, you know, he's not quite Goro. You know, you're still in like the Scorpion Sub-Zero range.
Mm-hmm, sure. Okay. Well, yeah, hold that thought. We have a lot of other stuff to get to, and I'm going to thank our sponsor for what's coming up here in the podcast. And those are friends over at CanvasPeople.com. Josh, maybe you're not like James Clement and you don't have a China immunity idol to hang up on your wall, but you still want to have nice decorations at your house. How about Canvas People, where they've got a great offer for our listeners, where they can get you a 11 by 14 beautiful canvas print of any photo you like from your phone or your camera, and they will turn it into a work of art that people will admire for $0 pricing on the photo.
Ghost $0 pricing?
Yes, ghost $0 pricing. All you have to do is pay the shipping. It's a fantastic deal. Nicole and I have done a bunch of these. I've got a beautiful one of Jadis from The Walking Dead hanging in my office that all
I
you have
it.
To
I
do.
I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it someday.
I'll take a picture of you with it, and then I'll turn that into a Canvas People as well.
Yes. Oh my God. That's getting spooky. I don't like that. That's a haunted picture in the making.
So just go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo. It's easy as can be. Select the 11 by 14 size and enter the promo code RHAP to get that special $0 pricing. It's a $69.99 value. All you do is pay the shipping and the handling. So get your own 11 by 14 Canvas People print for free. Just go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, and enter the special code RHAP. This is a limited offer for today's listeners. Go to canvaspeople.com and use the promo code RHAP to get your free print. Josh, now there's so many different photos of us together. That what's your probably ultimate favorite photo between the two of us?
Oh my God, the two of us have together?
Yeah.
I like the photo of our heads superimposed onto the...
You want to know right now, before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here, it would make me so happy for the rest of my life, if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda, it's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life.
Was what I was going to say. Our heads photoshopped onto the bodies of Ray and Egon.
Good.
That has yet to be created, but somebody will now create, is what I was going to say.
Ray and Egon? Who's who?
I mean, look at the body types. Come on.
What? I mean, I'm Egon?
No, well, yeah, I think you're more Egon. I mean, you know, Harold Ramis
like
in his
Venkman,
later years.
No?
I feel like you've got Venkman upside. I mean, that's a really high opinion of yourself, but... You know, let's at least know ourselves, I think, is a key to the path of enlightenment.
Yeah. I was going to say my colleague Steven maybe could be Egon, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, he is kind of Egon-esque.
Yeah.
He's Egon-esque for sure.
All right.
I like it.
All right. So we've got
Mike Bloom can be Slimer.
Yeah. All right. So we have so many different parts of this to get to. You are in the wand off. So please, if this is not of interest to you, please
go on.
And we wish you nothing but the best. We wish you.
Yes. Have a great rest of your day.
Have a wonderful rest of the day. And if you choose to continue on with us, we welcome you and wish nothing but positive energy to anybody who is listening or not listening to this point in the podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. A co-signed completely.
We have so much to get to. I have been listening to Wandoff. We broke the 50 Wandoff barrier this week.
You're killing me, people. I got a text from Rob yesterday when he reached out for my birthday, and it included a screenshot of his inbox, and it looks like it is, it looks like it's about 50 emails long of Wandoff submission. Yeah. So
let me play a clip of my inbox right now.
It's blowing up.
Okay.
Look, man, I don't care what you think. People want those hats. People want to get deputized as part of Wombat's Nation. It's happening. It's real.
Yes. Even more polarizing than the wand off has been the reaction to the weekly prize, the Wiggler Wombat's hat. So, Josh.
The wand off of apparel.
Yes. The wand off of apparel. Yes. So, more on that to come. But that is what people are playing for. Let's get into the results from last week. The tabulator was hard at work. People were voting all week long. Go to robiswebsite.com/vote Wanda for that. In third place from last week, newcomers Allie and Gus with their song The Greatest Tribe. In second place, two other newcomers to the Wandoff, Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish. They were in second place with their theme from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
And they almost got an Amazing Technicolor Dream hat.
They
it's actually just two
did.
Colors. It's
they were
That's
so
it.
Close. But yes. Our winners for week one of the Wandoff, and it was something that escaped them all season. Last season, they were in it just about every single week. Here was JD and Leah. They wanted to win, and they did.
Survivor.
Yes, and they did win the wand off this week.
Yes, oh my god, congratulations to JD and Leah, our first entrance into the final wand off of the season.
Yes, okay, and winners of a Wiggler Wombat hat.
Fantastic, I'm excited. JD and Leah, respond to your email that you submitted to Rob with your songs, with your address. If you'd like to have a Wombat's hat, I will happily send one to each of you. Very, very happy to deputize you as official members of Wombat's Nation.
So on top of that good news, we have some more good news. And really, Josh, so this was sort of something that has bothered me for a while, that people send in all these songs. Maybe we play 5 seconds of it. People always tell me they wanted to hear more of the people that get to this point in the podcast. And I never know what to do. And so this week I decided, you know what? People are working so hard on these wand-offs. So what we're going to do is, and we have the great Jason Curtis Rivera. He posts the top 5 songs. He turns them into YouTube clips and posts them on our RHAP Music YouTube channel. But people want more. People say, I want to hear everything you get. And unfortunately, that's too much. That's too much, right?
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a ghost. It's
right,
a lot.
Price? Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So what we are doing is that every single song that you are hearing on this podcast has been uploaded to a SoundCloud account, a private SoundCloud account, and plus about 12 other songs that did not make even the honorable mentions. I uploaded them all. I believe there's 26 tracks in total available to listen to, and I'm going to send out the link to, if you are a patron of Rob is a Podcast, even at a $1 level, that you will get a link to the SoundCloud of all of the songs for this season of the Wandoff. Okay.
Wow.
And I'll post it in the Patreon group.
I'll post it in the Patreon
group. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what an exclusivo. I like it.
Right, right. We're coming up with more and more stuff. We want to take care of the patrons. So, all right, there you go. Here's 26 after the podcast, go back, you can listen to. We'll play 10 seconds of a song. You can hear the whole song. You probably will delete your Patreon after this, but that's what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Josh, on top of that, also, there was a couple of songs that we got this week that didn't even fit into the Wand Off. They were sort of like they didn't have anything really to do with this week in Survivor. So let me just get those out of the way up front, if you don't mind. And so this is the first one. This comes to us from Phil T. And the email...
I feel like I know exactly where this is going to go, but continue.
The email that was sent to...
Son of a...
Sent in with this to wiggleroom@robiswebsite.com. Of course, that's the important email address. Don't send it to other things because sometimes I don't find them. wiggleroom@robiswebsite.com. The email just simply said, "I'm sorry." That was the text of the email.
Oh.
And then here is what Phil sent us.
Oh, this is great. I just predicted it. I just knew exactly where that was going, and that's a delightful, wonderful thing.
Okay.
Wombats officially have a theme song, and I'm thrilled.
Yes. That is uploaded to SoundCloud. You can hear the whole, like, two-minute version of that. Okay. That's there for you. All right. But not everybody was so excited about the Wigglers Wombats, unfortunately, Josh.
Okay. Yeah, that's all right. That's
not
okay.
Not everybody was, especially Shut Up Tim, for some reason.
Oh, wow.
When it comes to the Wand Off, there's a prize for first place. But if you see me put that thing on my head, then punch me in the face, because that hat is bad. It's bad. Josh knows it. That hat is bad. It's bad. The fonts are basic. That hat is bad. It's bad. The color scheme's awful. And I'd rather wear a little bee hat than put it on my head. It's bad.
Some bad hat, Harry.
That's amazing, because I was actually, no joke, I was coming into this week of the podcast knowing that Tim had submitted a Wandog, and like in like an effort to just like continue the expression of love that the Wigglers Wombats hat represents, I was going to say, like, it's very much in the Wombat spirit to deputize somebody who probably is never going to be able to outright win a Wombat's hat, and I was going to make an example of Shut Up Tim. That shall not happen any further. Even if Shut Up Tim, by some miracle, wins a Wand Off, there will be no Wombat's hat for Shut Up Tim.
Yeah. Well,
it is the end of the line. This is the end of the relationship between myself and Shut Up Tim. I am all out on Tim All In.
All right. Well, Josh, we have one other person who has a special message for you. And it's another person that you have had some bad blood with over the years.
Oh, no. Oh, come on. Oh. I hate everything.
Did you forget about me, Mr. Josh Wiggly? I hate to bug you in the middle of the Wand-Off. You saw a stick with a face. My chisel jaw was replaced. And are you thinking of me when you podcast? Cause the pizza we ate when we went on a date clearly wasn't enough to make you stay true to me. No. And James and Mike and Laffy Taffy don't know how I told you, please don't go to get gummies. Don't get gummies with Devin Pinto. And I swear, on Ghost Island, you'll find Josh Wiggler's old mayo jar. It's not fair to blindside me for Chris Noble or Brendan Shapiro.
Boy, Nick does a great Wanda.
Wow, he does a great Alina Smoriset as well. I'm really, really afraid of the speculation about the mayo jar on Ghost Island, and I think that we should never talk about it again.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in the host of the real Wand Off, the great Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure and a Jervis to be back here with you in the Wand Off. Yes, welcome, Casey.
You look fantastic with that wombat hat on your head, Casey. You just look absolutely incredible. And let me just express that before Rob tries to force his narrative that you are anti-wombat hat, because that's really going to trigger the shit out of me, Rob, if you try that. So let's just put that out there right now into the universe.
Never, ever, Josh Wiggler. Okay, let's get to our honorable and dishonorable mentions for the week three. Episode 3, week 2, episode 3.
Where are we? We don't even know. We have no idea. It's so complicated.
All right. Our first honorable mention this week comes to us all about James's idol, which showed up on Ghost Island. The question is, which idol is it?
For Faye Longerzan, who? No clue. It's either one or two.
That was from Kenny Huang Loggins through Dan Sinensky.
That was good, Dan. That was good. I'm sorry that you're not in the top five, but that was great. And just rhyming Jean Hu to put this is just... It's really good. That's going to be in my head for days.
Hold on to your butt cheeks. There's a lot more where that came from. We're only on honorable mention number one.
Oh, God. All right, continue.
Here's a newcomer to the Wandoff. His name is Asher in Austin, and he's talking about his favorite female character of this season.
I never saw you causing any drama. Screen time they'll see. I only wanted to one time hear you talking. I only think I saw you for a moment. Purple Chelsea.
That was the latest from Prince Siska. The hologram is right here next to me.
Yeah, you could really tell that was Prince Siska. The voice was spot on. Yeah, Purple Chelsea. Speaking of John who?
Chelsea from Survivor is the second most mentioned Chelsea this season, right after Chelsea from Chelsea, as mentioned in the song Mira from Manhattan.
Oh, my God. Also, by the way, just to further your knowledge of the Andrew Lloyd Webber catalog, Asher is one of Jacob's sons from Jacob and Sons. Yeah. It's also from the Bible. So I guess that's probably predates Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes, I will add also, Josh, that the full version of Purple Chelsea is over 3 minutes long and available on SoundCloud. Well over 3 minutes long.
Asher, that is remarkably impressive. I think. I'm going to say yes. Wow, that's great. Oh, that's fantastic.
All right.
Unbelievable.
A lot of the Wandoff entrants wanted to talk about the tribe swap this week. Here's Cameron talking about the new home for members of the Malolo tribe.
The VTP, that's where I want to be.
Really, Craigie? Or is it Craigie?
Living on the VTP, still don't have a confessional.
Really, Craigie? Or is it Craigie?
Living on the VTP.
There's a lot of questioning of how to pronounce Bradley's last name in that song. That was my favorite part.
I enjoyed that as well. I reached out to Bradley at one point, but God, just please help me out here. Like, how the hell do you say this? It's Kleige. That's the official ruling on the field.
Those people can't pronounce it. It's so easy.
I liked it better when it was Kleige. They changed it.
More on the tribe swap. This one's from Bob from Columbus.
Bradley hates beaches. That's clear to me. Bradley hates beaches. Let's set him free. Bradley hates beaches. That's clear to me. Bradley hates beaches. F*** you, Bradley.
It's like
you kind of know where it's going, and then they hit you.
Oh my God! Was that the President Sarah's of the United States of America?
Actually, it was the latest from the Presidents of the United States of America.
Yeah, that makes more sense. That's better. That's good.
Graham from the Bay is back to talk about the new and improved version of Russell Hantz.
The second coming of Russell is on the BET
Tom Fontes show. Everybody, I don't ask fake. He's not playing right. But Hantz is back, all right.
That's the latest from the Reichen Backstreet Boys.
I'm sad that there wasn't a Hanson cover. I feel like bop, that little bebop. That feels good. I cannot believe that Russell Hantz was mentioned by name not once but twice on Modern Survivor. That is the biggest blindside that has occurred in Survivor in recent memory.
Why? They've mentioned him before.
It's been a minute. Yeah. I was astonished. That was very surprising.
I think that they're setting the stage for that was old and busted, and now here's new hotness. Russell.
Yeah.
New Russell 2.0, the improved Russell. Okay.
So this is like 3.0.
3.0? No. Tony's a different thing.
I'm certainly not going to argue that.
Okay. Shannon Gates is back as a solo artist to talk about the amazing move pulled off by Fishy Award winner James Lynn. What an amazing move. Nobody saw it coming. That was the latest by the new artist, Ed Moby.
How is that not top five, baby? That, like, you should play Extreme Ways for the fact that it's not in the top five. That's how meta this has gotten. That is hysterical. How has it taken this long to have Extreme Ways in the Wanda?
It's a ghost.
It's a genius. Genius. Wow. Shannon, Rob got us for sure.
Our next entry to the Wandoff is from Sheldon, who's talking about Morgan's strategy this week.
Tribal council by the firelight, and Prosty says someone's going home tonight. Morgan thinks her new alliance is strong, cause girls just want to trust blondes. Oh, girls just want to trust blondes.
That was the hit single from Cindy Halper.
Okay.
Next up is Pete Z, who wants to talk about how the Malolo tribe came up with who to vote for.
Keeping Wendell's vital, and Dom still has an idol, and has no clue what should we do. Ha, 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 ha. Malolo, Rickety, go rocks that tribe, go rocks that tribe. So let's blindside vote Ricky, Morgan, Ricky, 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 Ricky,
Ricky, Ricky, Ricky.
That was the latest from the Beastie Mode Cowboys.
Pete Z, is that right? Do I have that right?
Pete Z.
Pete Z, you've got the voice of Ben Driebergen. Congratulations. That laugh is Ben Driebergen's laugh, and you possess it, and that is $1 million laugh. So congratulations. That is fantastic.
Possess it or possessed by it?
Well, this is Ghost Island, so we may want to bring in an exorcist. Is not a bad idea.
This week, the great Will from America was so taken with this week's outgoing Survivor, he composed an original composition. I checked and I even emailed him. It's not a song cover, JD and Leah. Okay, so here is Will from America with his original song for Morgan.
You were better than the first, so you can say you weren't the worst, but you'll never be remembered as the one who had big boobs. Why did you have to lose? And now we've gotta choose. But in my head from the start, the only Morgan in my heart was, well, girl, now we have to say goodbye.
Beautiful song from Will from America.
Oh, spectacular. So much beauty, so much passion coming from Will from America on that one. That beautiful tribute to Morgan.
And our final honorable mention this week, we were in uncharted waters because that two great artists sent us the same song. So,
okay.
JD and Leah, the last week's Wandoff champions, and the great Jason Curtis Rivera both recorded a parody of the same song. So Rockin' Rob Sesternino got together and put one amazing remix of their song, which is about the Malolo tribe from JD and Leah and about Sebastian from Jason Curtis Rivera.
Here we go.
Banana Laugh Eats Half.
The swap's outnumbered old Malolo, oh no no.
I'm feeling sorta like the Oscar of his cast.
My Aussie.
It makes me feel like a banana, my new orange bandana.
Oh, Malolo, oh no. Brad, he doesn't like his new place to sleep. Keep those thoughts to yourself. Helen speaking truth about your friend's new babies. They're ugly, can't you?
I tell him I'm happy when interviewing. I'm giggling. I look to the past and see Fabio can win. Jeff got me feeling like.
Castle, you're gonna win the puzzle. Got me singing like Wanda. Navi's in trouble. Morgan's the boat. Oh na 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 na. Banana oh na na. For Laffy Taffy, get banana oh na na. Banana.
Seabass out.
They got to the same Wanda bridge at the same time. It was so beautiful.
And so they submitted the same song separately, right?
Yes, yes.
And then you mashed them together?
Yes.
You took the time out of your life to mash two Wandoffs together when you had already had 50 submissions to this week of the Wandoff. Rob, your children need you. Your wife needs you. Your family needs you. Live your life. You do not have to do this.
I couldn't decide who should go into the top five.
Go downstairs. Go outside. Be alive. What is your problem? I mean, it was beautiful. You did a great job. Like the people who made the songs, like, hats off to you. Wombat hats off to you. But Rob, I'm concerned. It was
such a Rafe's choice for me which one to pick.
You need help, and I'm here for you if you need it. Like, anything I can do, let me know. But my God. All right.
All right. Josh, this is Casey. Rob's not here anymore. Here we go. We're ready for the top five Wandoff entries in the country. Our first comes to us from a Wandoff newcomer. Her name is Patricia, and she agrees that the Malolo Beach is not all it's cracked up to be. Here's Patricia.
Oh, the beach, this beach, the beach is bad. Navidi Beach is better, as a matter of fact. And Brandon the teacher's another thing, too. It's not that great a view from Wizzy to the pool. No, no, no. Beach, the beach, Wiggler's wombats. The beach, I want that hat. The beach, this beach is bad. The beach, give me that hat.
That was newcomer Patricia with a hit from Elton John Who.
Do you think I loved hearing Zeke's story about burying the poop on the beach that is now Malolo? Do you think that that's going to be a hidden idol someday or confused as one?
I hope not.
Just a thought that I had.
There's no hotter newcomer on the Wandoff scene than the team of Allie and Gus. They're back again after their first Wandoff top five appearance last week, their second week on the charts, talking about how Morgan felt after that tribal council this week.
Blonde hair and the buff on her head. I got the stress of the tribal swap. It fills me with dread. And we're both Catholic. She knows her tribe's drawing dead. She's gonna vote with me and Dom to get out Chris the white bread. Ghost. Island saved him instead. So we changed the vote to Chris's closest friend, the jarhead, to tell the whales that Spradlin too was misled. My million-dollar dreams have dimmed because of that blonde girl and James Lim.
Thought I could trust Libby, she'd never vote for me. We both have rosaries,
Don't trust the blonde, never trust the blonde. Can't trust the blonde, she screwed me.
The new rock goddess me, King's brother and I will be. I'm a sold lovey
Don't trust the blonde, never trust the blonde. Can't trust the blonde, don't trust Libby.
That was the latest from Final 303.
This is a cool tune. I don't know if I've ever heard that one, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I liked it. That's good.
Our third entry into this week's Wandoff comes from another recording duo that are no stranger to being in the Wandoff top five. It's Becky and Taylor, and they're also talking about how Morgan is feeling after this week's show.
We told ourselves that we have to win a Wandoff. The second season's harder than the first. Now we're all competing for a Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
No dishonorable mentions. Now we must reverse the curse.
So we sing about Ghost Island, the new Navidi tribe. Just when we were thinking the new Kim Spradlin had arrived.
The side ponytail like Kim Spradlin.
The game of Survivor delivers a new blind side.
Cause you can't trust the cute ones anymore.
They're not goats that you can drag to Final Four.
But you don't have to worry about Laurel. Purple jealousy just ignore. But Libby proved you can't trust cute blonde anymore.
Don't trust the cute blonde.
A beautiful power ballad by the group RSO Speedwagon.
Oh my god, second wand off is definitely harder than the first so far. I mean, this has been I don't know, the first wand off is also fantastic. It's all great. Everyone who hates the wand off, get out of here, go away. This is my
we're not talking about that anymore.
Of my life.
We're not saying
no. Oh my god,
number four this week. Number four is a first for the wand off as a songwriting trio has gotten together to talk about.
You guys just trying to make me go broke with these shipping costs. That's what's happening here.
And this trio got together to talk about what happened to this week's boot on Survivor.
Didn't want to be the girl walking out of the gate in a hashtag blind sight. Libby seemed so nice and innocent, but it turned out she lied. Thought I found a true alliance mate. She claimed to be Dover. Stood up for her at tribal. Guess fair trade doesn't round about. Why you gotta scheme and plot with James Lim? Killing my chance to win. Now I can't be the next King Spradlin. Thought Angela was gone, but that was not to be. Chris Noble a ghosting, and that really screwed me. Poor Wendell looked dejected. Hope my legacy saves Dom. My preaching vacation, a Morgan Rookie situation.
Yes! That's very clever. That's great.
That was the songwriting trio of Aaron Robertson, Jordan Kalish, and Amy Howard, a.k.a. Baylor Wilson Phillips.
That's so great. Wow. I'm hearing reports that Baylor was on American Idol. Is
American
there any
Idol.
Truth to
yeah.
this?
American Hidden Immunity Idol.
Yeah.
Now, the American Idol was lost but 6 years ago and has now resurfaced once again with new powers. It got transferred from one network to another, and now it's back. Its host is losing powers. Josh, in all seriousness, let me also just say how crazy you got on me. Aaron Robertson, Jordan, and Amy, not only did they send in the acoustic version, they also sent in the up-tempo traditional version. I had two different versions of Ricky situation to choose from.
But they only have one song to deal with. You're not getting away scot-free on this one. Scott St. Pierre-free, even.
And then
you have 50 wand offs and you made a wand off mashup. Live your life.
Your patron dollars hard at work.
God, wow. You're a hardworking man, Rob Sestern. You're the hardest working man in Survivor Podcast.
And then number five. We've had a lot of great wand offs so far, but our returning champ is back for the first time in Ghost Island. DJ LaBelle Klein is not Brett LaBelle and is not Adam Klein, but is back to ask the question, what happened this week to Donathan?
I'm just so tickled to be here. I'm definitely someone that just stood out. It's going to be probably a really hard job for me to get that in. People say that it's Donathan.
Say something, I will subtitle you.
You know, people did never expect probably me just to come up out of the woodwork.
No confessionals from you, week two.
I have to get down and dirty with the rest of them, honey. I'm getting down and dirty with them. And
maybe CBS fired their graphics crew.
I plan on trying to play the most positive game I can. Coming out here and just becoming a butterfly.
Say something, I will subtitle you.
Oh, I'm just ecstatic of all the support that I've received.
And you?
I have some similarities with JT.
were in a blind side.
I was pulling that trigger right and I had like smack it left real good.
Jeff didn't talk to you once.
Check that killed me out.
Just the rest of your tribe.
And I just see those balls. I'm just thinking, holy hell, I did that.
Say something, I will subtitle you.
That's one good thing you want to hear on Jeff Post Nails is that you're a hero.
Surprise me.
You weren't even in the last week review.
And being out here is definitely like opening my eyes and giving me confidence in myself.
Just like the newfies in BB Can 2.
Back at home, those people are just going to be floored to see me have that moment.
We can't understand, but we still love you.
I'm a fighter. I've always had to be, and I continue to out here.
That was the latest from A Great Big One Worlds Apart, Josh. I was emailing recently with DJ LaBelle Klein, and he wanted to thank Rob Cesternino for getting Dr. Mike to put a 40-year statute of limitation on the free vasectomy he won in last season's Wanda. Good for 40 years from Dr. Mike.
If you try to tell me that the free vasectomy is a better prize than a Wiggler's Wombat's hat, I am going to end our podcasting relationship, Rob.
Does Dr. Mike have a line of hats?
I'm sure he does.
Josh, I've got a new hat. It's called the Zahalski Zebra Hat.
Yes, of course. That's the only way you can go. I mean, if you don't want to do the alliteration stuff, there's a whole world of possibilities you can go to with Dr. Mike.
To vote in this week's Wandoff.
Dr. Mike's members only. Yeah.
We've got a members only jacket and a members only hat. You could wear it on your member only.
No.
Okay. Go to robinswebsite.com/votewanda to go ahead and cast your vote for the top five this week as tabulated by the great tabulator, Kurt Clark. And if you'd like to hear 26 tracks from this week's Wandoff, check out that link that will be in the Robins Podcast patron group. Or if you are even a patron of Robins Podcast for $1, I will post that link for any patron that you will have there. And once again, thank you, Casey Kasem. Rob, it's a pleasure. Make sure all week long you keep reaching for the stars and keep your feet on the ground. In the grave.
Oh, my God. Thanks for coming, Casey, as always. Great job this week. Great job to all you future wombats out there. What a hilarious week of Wandoffs.
Yes,
that
please,
was spectacular.
But just for the future, wiggle room at robinswebsite.com to send in your Wandoff. Try to keep it to a minute unless you feel like that you are, you know, really hitting a home run. Right, you know, try to shoot for a minute. That's the goal.
That'd be ideal for your sanity, really, is what it comes down to mostly.
All right, Josh Wiggler, great job once again here in the Wandoff. So much fun in the Wiggle Room.
Oh man, I'm laughing a lot, and that is all I want out of life in these very dark times.
Yes, you had a good birthday.
Great birthday. Fantastic birthday. Gonna hop off the line here with you, explore some more Joshua Tree, and, you know, we'll just continue the celebration as long as we can.
Is it true? I heard that the Joshua Tree is actually a rocket ship. Is that right? Like it actually takes
off? I'm looking for it. I've been trying to follow the whispers, but I'm afraid of where it's going to lead me to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Blast off.
Man, you've got like a full llama suite, a full llama audio suite that I really hope that you put to good use.
Yes.
You've got like four distinct llama noises. He was so game. It was really incredible. I gotta be honest with you. He was so gung-ho.
There's one file here, though, that has really piqued my curiosity, Josh. There's a file here in this Tony folder that's labeled not for use, and I'm so scared to push it.
Don't push it. Don't push the button. The button's bad.
Do not do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. not for use. It's not going to be as funny as you want it to be. It might be more dangerous than you think it is. So I
can
just
I do it off air?
Yeah, you can do it off air. But it's like The Ring, where if like you were to play it for people on the podcast, they would have 7 days to live. You'll be fine, though. Okay. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. All right. You have an immunization to this kind of content.
Follow Josh Wigler on Twitter. He's at Round Howard, working on so many great things. I was reading some of your takes on The Hollywood Reporter today about who you predict is going to be the next person to die on The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like not that hot of a take, right? Like, doesn't it feel like the thing that I'm pitching, like, that's probably going to happen?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll check that
out.
We'll
talk about it.
Of course.
We'll get into it on the feedback show on postshowrecaps.com later in this week.
Yes, and then, of course, join me after Survivor for the Know-It-Alls this week. We've got a great batch of guests this week. Allie from Survivor 35 is going to join me for the recap this week.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then Josh Tyler Fredrickson is going to join me on the voicemails this week.
Neat, sweet.
So, looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Climb my way to the shelter. I lost myself when I crashed on the shore. Shivering in the night and it's raining.